Have you ever wondered how it is that we come to believe the things that we do? When we look at our lives, do any patterns of faith emerge? Are there things that happened along the way? Miraculous things? Thought-provoking things? Life-changing things that brought us to a deeper faith? Are there people who taught us about God, whether by their words or their actions, or simply by their humility? For each one of us, the journey of faith is a different story of how we have come to believe. Each one of us walks that path today. We follow what the earliest Christians simply called the way. Now, when we think of Jesus as the way, I don't think that it means simply the right way, but rather the way of faith, the walk through times of belief and uncertainty. Along the way, in the midst of all these experiences, our faith can often bear fruit in the form of moments of clarity when, for reasons we may not know, we realize that we are indeed on a path that is life-giving. In the gospel this morning, we see the 12 apostles experience one of these rare moments of clarity. Now, I say rare because we often see that it isn't easy to be an apostle. They are weighed down by many of the same questions, uncertainties, and insecurities that are a part of our lives. And yet, in this moment, when many followers are beginning to give up, when many who have witnessed miracles and listened to Jesus' teaching are beginning to fall away and retreat to the safe confines of the old ways, the apostles find themselves, I think to their own surprise, choosing to stay with Jesus and to walk with him further. As many followers took their leave, Jesus turned to the 12 who had been with him the longest and said, "Well?" They looked at one another and responded, "Lord, where else can we go? The old ways don't make sense to us anymore. For reasons we can't explain, we have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God." And so they stayed. But what about those that left? Imagine yourself as one of those people. Imagine for a moment that you're one of these crowds, not the 12 who had been there for a while, but one who were just now meeting Jesus. Your story begins when you hear word of an itinerant prophet who has come to say new things about God. And so, perhaps out of curiosity, maybe for entertainment, or perhaps because you are by nature a soul searcher, you go. You go, and not only do you hear something new and profound, but you also witness something incredible. Thousands show up, but none are prepared for the long day it becomes. And yet, somehow, there is food enough for everyone, and some left over. Rumors begin to travel through the crowd that this man is more than just a prophet, that his words and his miracles add up to nothing short of a new king. And so you join a group of people who go to him to see if it's true. But before you find him, he has escaped to be alone. Evening comes, and you look out to the sea and see his 12 closest disciples in a boat that becomes trapped by a storm that sneaks up on them, but then becomes completely still and silent. You find out the next day that the men in the boat saw Jesus walking towards them on the water. Clearly, this is a miracle man. This is a man to be followed. And yet, despite these miracles that you have seen with your own eyes, you become doubtful when Jesus begins to compare himself to the bread that God sent your people when they were lost in the wilderness. Something about that has crossed a line. And you are not alone. In fact, some of the very same people who a day before had wanted to make Jesus their king were suddenly reminding themselves of Jesus' more humble origins. Who is this guy? Is he not the son of Joseph? I think we know his parents. He's no king after all, and he's certainly not something God has sent. Despite those miracles that were right before their eyes, they couldn't seem to cross the threshold of belief. No doubt they thought that Jesus had good things to say, that he had some wisdom. But when what he was teaching really challenged their old ways of doing things, they fell away. When Jesus told them that the things that they had been doing had value, but were but a pale shadow of what they were called to experience, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" When Jesus finally reached the point of what he was saying, that the things of this world are meaningless compared to God's life-giving Spirit, these fair-weather disciples reached their limit. They instead looked back at their lives and the ways to which they had become accustomed, and they said, "It's good enough." But the disciples who stayed with Jesus no longer seemed to know what good enough meant. The phrase "good enough" would have rung hollow on their ears as if they had heard it in a language that they had never heard before. You see, when Jesus told them who he was, that he was the one sent from God to give true life, that he was of God, Jesus placed before his disciples a decision. And it was a really challenging one. For Jesus to say to this community, a community that he was a part of, that to follow him is to believe that he is the way, that Jesus is the stuff of faith, this would have been really hard for them to hear. You see, they could no longer be passive listeners. Jesus wanted them to claim what he was saying for their own lives. He wanted them to play a part in all this. Jesus wanted them to believe. He wanted them to believe. Now, is that why he fed the 5,000? So that 5,000 would see and believe? Is that why he walked on the water and calmed the seas? So that the apostles would also be wowed by his miracles and also believe? If so, that didn't work very well. Of the 5,000, we only read of 12. 12! Who at the end of the story said to Jesus, "Yes, we believe." Perhaps these miracles had nothing to do with convincing anyone of anything. Perhaps Jesus fed these multitudes simply because he cared for them. He knew they were hungry and he had compassion for them. He wanted them to stay a bit longer. Maybe Jesus walked to the apostles in the boat because he had a special regard for them. He didn't want to see them harmed or even scared. When those crowds saw these things and they came to him and they asked for more signs, for more miracles, Jesus didn't have what they were looking for. That wasn't what all this was about. These acts, these miracles, were not about convincing them of something that they weren't sure of. They were something more along the lines of tangible manifestations of God's love, of the Spirit of God. They were great expressions of what Jesus had been telling them for days. It is the Spirit that gives life, and this is what life means. For some reason, the 12 who stayed didn't need any miracles to know what path they wanted to take. They had also been with Jesus long enough to know that the most important part of following him was the relationship that bloomed from that. Of course, they continued to be challenged and even confused by him, and their moments of clarity continued to be interspersed with episodes of doubt and even small-mindedness. But they were also beginning to see the first fruits of their journey. And here we see one of those fruits, that the old ways, the ways that were simply too attractive to most followers, no longer held any meaning for them. Lord, where can we go unless it is with you? Something had begun to form them. Something had begun to shape their hearts. They had become more open to God and to each other, enough so that Jesus' powerful words that He was Spirit and life could begin to take root. This is the work of the Spirit. This was God's work. But it didn't hurt that they had begun to learn how to listen. God had given them a gift, the same gift that was offered to everyone that day. The difference is that those 12 were willing to claim it. They had been through something profound. I'm sure of this because of the words that they said to Jesus and the way that they said it. Lord, where can we go? We have come to believe and know that You are the Holy One of God. We have come to believe from places of darkness and fear and self-centeredness, from places where we felt distant from God. We have come, and we wish to stay.